Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, it is our Summer Entertainment Awards, where we discuss the best in film and television over this past summer. So let's get on with the show. Joining me today, my fellow host, Troy Heinrichs.
What's up, everybody?
Returning for NoReruns.net is Kyle Nolan.
Hello, hello.
And Amanda Zink is not here. She actually was here, but she had technical difficulties. We're not convinced that they were not intended by her. So we're going to move forward anyway because she couldn't make it. So what do you guys think about summer so far?
Best box office ever.
I mean, it's at least this decade, it's been pretty phenomenal.
I've been making full use of my A-list this summer.
Do you ever worry that they're going to take that away? Like at some point, AMC is just going to say, no more.
I still don't understand how they make money. Yeah, I mean, even if you have people that are... Buddy.
Concessions.
No, it's...
But
it's,
I'm not buying the concessions every single time, all 16 movies or whatever that I see a month.
You see all 16 movies, they're not making any money. They're expecting you to see two a month. That's their goal. Go see two a month. And then they're breaking even.
I think it's more concessions because they are so inflated, but it could be a little bit of both. Could be a little gym membership counting on. They definitely need the balance of people, right? To offset, they need some people that are, and the same thing happens to Regal and all the other ones that have that all encompassing subscription based membership, which everything is a subscription now. So I think it just works across the board that way. Whatever way, I don't care. I don't care as long as they have it. Don't take it away from me, AMC. I need it.
Yeah, because you go every week.
Yeah. Why don't you?
I don't know. I just feel like I have other stuff that I'm doing that I just don't have time to go all the time.
Do you not have time or do you not make time?
I make time to do other things, like ride my bike, go hang out with my friends, build some Lego sets.
You should get a stationary bike, put it in the theater, and then you can bike while you watch the movie.
The volume that my bike makes when it's on the trainer, I don't think would be appreciated by you or Aaron.
I bet you there's got to be... Have they ever done that, like a gym theater? You know, something where they have just treadmills and bikes or something, and then they play a movie in front of it? I'm sure there's got to be some concept for that.
You remember we did an episode on that a while back about what should movie theaters do to like...
Yeah, but have they actually done it though?
No, they should. Like take that AMC in Barrington, rip out two of those small ones and throw in some treadmills and bikes in there. That'd be amazing. And then I would sign up for that gym membership. You know, I pay $75 to go to the Y all winter. It's like, well, I'd give them my $75 instead and I can watch a movie.
Do you really spend $75 to go to the Y?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they have a pool and a hot tub and a sauna and a steam room and a bike. And
I didn't really care. I just want to make that lame joke. All right. So we're moving on to the Summer Awards. Now, if you've never listened to our Summer Entertainment Awards, this is your pick for the best entertainment for each category. We go from May 1st through Labor Day weekend. This includes movie theater, streaming, digital, or cable. And for the first section of awards, it's movies or TV because there's so much TV these days. There's so many movies, but a lot of people do one or the other. Sometimes there's a mix, whatever, but we get to pick for each of these categories, this first block, get to pick from either one, movies or TV. It gives you a whole plethora of options, if you will. And hopefully you find something that maybe you haven't checked out before and you want to go see. Probably not, but maybe. You never know. It's possible. Are you guys ready? Do you have your selections? There's no honorable mentions allowed. They will be edited out. Don't try it. Kyle, just for your knowledge and Troy to remind you.
I have them listed, but I will not read them off. They were my backups as I was trying to figure out because there's way too much stuff to choose from.
There's a lot. And whenever people say, well, you know, nothing to see. What are you doing? Whether it be movies or TV, there's nothing but things to see. There's plenty of things. All the things. If anything, there's too much to see.
Yeah, we watch too much. And then like, I'm like, what was that thing I watched 2 months ago?
I do have that.
I had to scroll through my Sofa Time app to figure out what I watched on TV for the last 3 months.
Well, and you go to movies every week, too.
Yeah, that I went through my list on AMC, but then you have all the mystery movies. So I had to go to the Reddit to see what the mystery movies were to remind myself. what those were, because those just show up as screen unseen when you're looking at your AMC tickets. I think you just have amnesia
or you know, beginning stages of something else that I'm not going to go into.
Well, because we have this rule that we you can only have the TV show included if it had three episodes during the May 1st to September 1st.
Three new episodes. Yep. Yep.
So I was like, was that in April? Was that in May? I don't remember. And I had to like go look and see how many episodes aired.
One in particular, I had to go to IMDb and verify that there were three, because I'm like, I know it ended in May, but I don't know when it ended in May. It just made it. I'll give you a hint. Boy, that's all I got to say. So there we go. Are you guys ready to get into the awards?
Sure. Yep.
Okay. So we're going to go in the same order. It's going to go Troy, Kyle, and me. And so we'll do the same order each time. And again, we have our own categories. We go through them. They can be for movies or TV for this section. And then we'll get into specifically movies and television, because it, you know, that's just the way we do it. And I don't care what anybody thinks. It's our show. Best team up or ensemble. That means two or more actors that captivated you, that won you over, that you just adore. Best team up or ensemble. Now, Troy, what do you got?
I have the dynamic duo of Charlie Hall playing Rudy and Kiara Goldberg playing Jerry in Maximum Pleasure Guaranteed. These were two coworkers who basically helped out Paula on her journey and became like investigators. And so there was this little bit of like office romance / I don't like you, I hate you, brother, sister combo. They had jokes between the two of them. At one point, he like breaks into her desk to like steal something. And it was a really fun relationship between the two of them, especially when they finally got out into the field and then started dealing with some of the bad guys attacking them and scaring them. And then there's a really great scene where Charlie Hall actually confronts a woman in a pool. It's amazing. So yeah, the two of them working together, it was a great time watching them all summer long.
Yeah, I really enjoyed them. I almost put them for supporting later on, but I couldn't pick between them. So I couldn't make that choice.
Are they an ensemble? Are they a duo? I thought it was just Tatiana Maslany's show. Like,
no, they're her coworkers.
Oh, her coworkers. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
And her only friends, really.
What about you, Kyle? What do you got?
So one thing I love about Reacher is they always have like the local cops characters that Reacher has to team up with. And this fourth season, they have like two cops and then this, I don't know what you call him, like a con guy, sort of like a tech con guy. And so
you call him that dude from Alias. That's what you call him.
Yes.
Kevin Weisman.
Yeah. So the three of them together are just make a wonderful team that support Reacher this season. And they're just a whole lot of fun. There's like, especially Kevin Weisman, like there's just lots of, and actually I guess, and Tamara Green who plays, or the character's Tamara Green.
Sadell Noel is her name.
And so all of them working together to help Reacher, I just really enjoyed that whole dynamic in this fourth season.
Now, Christopher Rodriguez Marquette, he's the one that plays Jacob, you know, and he's the one who's, he's got the sister issues. I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't watched it yet because it's still going on. But do you like him consistently? Like, because as you watch it, he kind of goes through ups and downs where he can be annoying at times, where it's just like, oh, get over it. But then you're like, well, he's dealing with a lot of trauma. Maybe I should be a little more empathetic. I forget it's a TV show.
I don't think I ever really got annoyed with him just because he's part of the team. Like, I think because, I mean, if it had just been him, then maybe. But I mean, since he's part of this group, I never really disliked him.
Okay. Well, I don't dislike him. I didn't say that. I just meant there's times where I'm just like, I mean, if he fell off the building, I'd be okay. You know what I mean? Like that. That's all. That's all I mean. All right. So my best team up or ensemble, I just caught up on this show and I think you're going to be surprised how much it blew me away. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. Hannah Waddingham and Octavia Spencer in Ride or Die. That is a Prime series that I know it's been a big hit for them. It came out mid-July. And basically, Octavia Spencer and Hannah Waddingham are best friends. And then we find out that Hannah just likes to kill people for a living. So she's an assassin. And then there's a whole intricate plot. And there's a lot of mobsters after them, as well as the law. And there's a lot going on. But I just love those two. They have a really interesting dynamic. Like, it really feels like real friendship. Hannah Waddingham, it just blew me away in the show completely. Like, honestly, I wish she left Ted Lasso and just did this show. That's how good she was. I thought she was fantastic in this. And the friendship she has with Octavia Spencer really won me over. Because there are times where I'm like, I feel like Octavia Spencer's not giving her all in this one. There were moments early on. And then I just felt like, okay, I kind of see the character now. It's a little bit more about what the character is. And their friendship is just, they've got great chemistry. It just really, really blew me away.
It's still on my watch list.
Guys suck. You guys, is it because it's ladies? Is that what it is? It's not no, dude it's just, enough for just
so much. It's just I have so much stuff to watch.
So that's much fair. Stuff.
All right. The best reinvention of a tired cliche. It's always Troy's hardest to figure out because he doesn't like the word.
I think I finally figured it out this year.
Good. I can't wait to hear you crack the code. Go ahead. Right. What's the winner?
So the cliche that I leaned into was the city kids inherit a mysterious rustic property and clash with the locals trope.
Okay.
And that is from the summer series on Prime called Sterling Point, which just debuted recently on August 5th. It does a really great job. This is a Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage.
Got renewed too already, by the way.
It did.
Yeah.
But they kind of lean more into this cozy, nostalgic, like late 2000s lake culture atmosphere. And the friction between the city slicker twins and the local claimants isn't like bogged down by all the mean comments and stuff that usually happens in this trope. Instead, it actually switches up a little bit and gets more into like community building. It's got some fast-paced chemistry, and it kind of honors the comfort classic style of like your traditional like YA drama, like a Dawson's Creek, for example. So, yeah, I thought this was a really good spin on it, and yeah, certainly it was a good watch.
I do kind of want to check that out. I heard, is it Jeffrey Dean Morgan? Is he in that?
I believe so.
Negan? Yeah. I think maybe flashbacks. I don't remember how, but... I think I saw an interview where he was just raving about the young cast and how talented they all were. Like,
yeah, they were really talented actors on there.
Okay. Kyle, you got this? Does this make sense to you, or is it going to take you 8 years to figure it out?
It may take me a few years to figure this one out. But so the way I went with it was, like, we've had The Purge so many times. That's become this, anything goes for this amount of time.
Yeah, yeah.
But... now we have One Night Only, which takes that concept and completely reinvents it as like a rom-com.
Yes, that's
which
perfect.
I thought worked really well. I found the movie so much fun to be a lot of fun. Just a fun take on that whole purge, except now they have 12 hours to get the sex out of their system before they're locked down for another year. So,
which is a crazy concept that I still think is wild, but all right.
But it works.
It does. Like, it's a great movie. It really is a great
movie. The movie was movie. Just so much yeah. fun.
And the chemistry between those two was great, too. Like, they really had, even though, was it Callum Turner? Yeah, Callum Turner and Monica Barbaro. Callum Turner's ears straight out. Like, they just go straight out, like, at a 90-degree angle. It is not, he should, I know he's married to Dua Lipa. I guess she is open to a lot of things, so, or likes handlebars. I don't know what that is, but anyway, moving on to my best reinvention of a tired cliche. It's the crazy girlfriend. It's the stalker. It's the fatal attraction, that whole concept where you date somebody and they're nuts and you can't get rid of them after that. That whole cliche was put squarely on its head in Obsession. This is very much a movie that is saying, look, the guy technically made her nuts. And every chance he has to do the right thing, he does the not right thing. Like, he does everything that makes this poor woman's life just, I guarantee it's ruined. That's all I'm going to say. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely ruined. So it's number one, it's a fantastic movie, but it's also a lovely, lovely, lovely turn of that cliche. And really by that, even though he's the one that's kind of being tortured and he's kind of, trying to fight against this woman who he wished for her to love him more than anything in the world. It's really, he's the bad guy. He's the villain in that whole movie. And some people still don't see it that way. And I'm like, I don't know what movie you watched, but he's absolutely the bad guy. Okay. Best overall action sequence.
This one has to go to The Furious, the movie,
mm-hmm.
the 15 minute multi-live staircase fight. So all the different camera angles, and they take a long camera shot, and there's no CGI, very minimal CGI if there is any. All the martial arts, just chef's kiss. It was so good. It reminded me of that Cobra Kai episode at the end of season two when they're fighting in the school.
I assume you mean in the snake pit, like when the during the police station. That's probably
yeah. There's that staircase sequence. Yep. Yeah,
gotcha. Awesome. That you can't go wrong with the Furious for me because I freaking love that movie. But go ahead, Kyle.
I also had the Furious, but
so do I. It's a trifecta.
I went with the climax scene when you have like, there's like three or four different parties all fighting against each other. You have bad guys fighting bad guys and turning back to the hero guy. And it's just all flows together from, you never know who's going to attack who next. And there's just this massive brawl that's going on multiple floors of this building and people throwing people all over the place. And yeah, this movie was just, if you have action sequence, it's got to be this movie because there's so many to choose
from. Best action movie of the summer by far. Well, mine is also The Furious, but it's none of those. It's the Octagon fight in The Furious. In the trailer, that's kind of what sold me on the entire movie. And then to see it like play out where he's literally fighting piles of dudes, like he's thrown into an octagon and he's just like one by one, he's climbing a mountain of beaten ass. I think that is a phenomenal action sequence. And actually what I love about that movie is there is a story, and it's very much like Taken, right? It's his daughter's kidnapped, he's just fighting to get his daughter back, and you just can't stop him. But it's like the Taken I wanted to see a lot more whooped ass, and he whoops everybody's ass, but he also takes an ass whooping throughout the movie too. So it, you know, although I'm pretty sure his spleen is at least ruptured, if not other vital organs.
He now has two or three spleens, but
yeah, he's had to have, he needed a donor for sure. All right. Most ridiculous moment. This is one of my favorite categories. It's the most ridiculous moment. Give me a moment in film or TV. Think about it, size it up, explain it, where you just went, this is goddamn stupid for whatever reason.
I can definitely size it up, okay. Size it up almost to the size of Godzilla taking apart an entire town. Because if you don't pick Cassie stomping around in Euphoria in that one episode as the craziest, most ridiculous, stupidest thing you've ever seen all summer, I don't know what you're watching. Because that was just dumb.
I don't disagree with you. I don't. It, terrible. I don't even know for sure if it happened in summer, but I'm giving it to you because it's that stupid. But I'm guessing.
Four episodes in May.
Okay. I gotcha. Fair enough.
So I went with a moment from Super Troopers 3.
Oh, man, I didn't see that. So you're going to have to explain.
So there's this moment when the character Farba...
Wait. Okay. A movie in Super Troopers 3 that's already trying to be stupid, and it's still ridiculous.
I didn't realize it. It just had ridiculous. Okay. I didn't know it had to be stupid.
It could be ridiculous in a good way.
That's true. Sure. That's true.
That's his list.
It's your moment.
So the character of Farva, the plot of this movie is he's getting engaged. He's going to get married to one of the other character's sister. And so it's all the planning for the wedding and stuff. And the brother is trying to stop this from happening because he doesn't want him to marry his sister. So they're at like a bachelor party. He has a severe shellfish allergy, but he decides he's going to eat an entire lobster anyway and enjoy it. And he gives everyone at the bachelor party an EpiPen and tells them to wait. It's like, hold it. And then he's going to announce when they can stab him with the EpiPen. But as he's eating this lobster, he's just getting redder and redder, turning into like a Red Hulk.
What?
Going nuts, fighting off these people as they all go after him with their EpiPens, trying to stab him. And it becomes an all-out brawl with him fighting off people, trying to give him the EpiPen to save his life. But he just wants to finish his lobster. And
son of a bitch, that sounds awesome.
It's such a ridiculous scene. I wouldn't say it's awful, but it's just ridiculous and entertaining to watch.
Is that movie good overall?
I really enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I did like the first one. I don't think I liked the second one that much, but I liked the first one. Right meow. Come right meow. They did that a lot. All right. So mine is... Okay, whenever people tell me that they love this movie, I just go, "What? I don't get it. I really don't." Like, this is one of those moments where I just don't get it. I think you're given a lot of... Sometimes people earn your goodwill, so you just let them pass in certain respects, and this is one of those moments where people just let it pass. Disclosure Day. Talked about it when I reviewed it way back when, but Josh O'Connor, he's being hunted by scores of feds. They all surround this house he's supposed to be in, but no, he's in an open field behind them. So he proceeds to sneak up on them. 50 feds. He sneaks up on them in an open field while loudly having a conversation on his phone in an open field, mere feet, not hundreds of yards, feet behind the feds, and an old wooden barn fence, you know, the kind that Rip flirts with Beth through on like Dutton Ranch. Yeah, that thin. There's just slats of wood. Walks right past them to jump in one of their cars before any of them notice. That is the scene that Steven Spielberg thought made sense. Shame on him and his old ass eyes. Because the eye test should have told you, no, stop it. Sorry. I'm kind of passionate about that one.
And that's just one of the scenes like that. There's several.
There's a lot of them. My God. I don't think, were you on when I reviewed this? I don't remember. I think maybe you were.
I think I listened to it, if not.
Do you, you know what I'm talking about. Was it not?
Yes, there's another scene that's up like on an overlook where the people are just like standing there behind a car as the cops come. They just walk away. It's so pathetic. Like, there's no way they wouldn't have been caught.
They're just like, oh, they think we went, was it over the cliff or whatever it was?
And yeah.
And then instead they're like at a rock 5 feet away and they're just like, nobody will see us. Yeah, because cops don't search the area. Jesus. Movie. I'm serious, man. That I get that it's Spielberg, but I think it gets way too many passes for logic. Like the people that have raved about it, I'm like, I can't do it. I just can't. I can deal with dumb. I can't deal with stupid. That's stupid.
I completely forgot it aired this summer. Otherwise, I would have picked that moment too.
Terrible. All right. Best overall scene. This is the more positive version. Like the best overall scene, and why is it your favorite scene of the summer, movie or TV?
It's the Octagon. But not from The Furious. Actually from Mando and Grogu, because the 15-minute fight scene with the where they're going in and they're saving what's his name, the Hutt, right?
Oh,
and
yeah, yeah.
They're doing the whole battle arena that's going on and whatever. And he's like, I'm not going to kill him. Like, I yield. And so he wins, so he gets to go free. But he doesn't get to go free. He's free to die. And then all the other critters come in and like start fighting and stuff. All those other critters were the actual chess pieces from the Djarik game from episode 4 when they're on the Millennium Falcon.
They really?
And Chewbacca's playing the game and then eats the guy that. And whatever.
Yeah, didn't realize.
So yeah, so that callback to the fact that it was the Djarik chess pieces, I was like, these are people that understand Star Wars. And that makes me just like super happy because I'm like, okay, I don't care if this movie's bad anymore. Like they're at least like giving homage to the fans. I thought that was just, it was just chef's kiss. It was perfect.
It wasn't a bad movie. It was enjoyable. It was just, was an extended episode of the show. That's all it was. If you like the show, you'd like the movie. If you didn't like the show, you're not going to like the movie. And it's kind of a chase movie. That's about it.
It was.
Good scene. It's like the Rancor scene, but with more.
Well, and there is the Rancor scene later on when he fights the serpent thingy at the Hutt's place. Oh, and the X-Wings when they come out of the sun.
See, there's fun stuff in there. And plus, Rogue with Baby Yoda. Still Baby Yoda. I don't care who you are. It's Baby Yoda.
Yeah, Baby Yoda.
The whole
Yoda
sequence
and
where
Baby
he takes
Jabba.
Care of Mando. That's a great sequence.
Aw. It is. It's cute. I think that movie was very underappreciated. All right, Kyle, what do you got? Best scene.
So mine, I have a feeling maybe it might be a repeat to yours, but we'll see.
Okay.
I went with the Evil Dead burn scene.
Was not, but it was fighting for top spot. So go ahead.
So there's a scene where this devilishly possessed character is basically in the house attacking this family. You see the people being thrown back and forth, like in the background, stuff is falling everywhere, things are crashing, and this one woman is just like crawling towards the foreground, trying to escape all this stuff. Meanwhile, all these things are happening, things are getting thrown over her head. But it's all happening in the same scene. It's not, it doesn't feel like these are two separate events. Like she's just making her way to the front. Yeah. It's just a beautiful shot. Like it's just amazing. It just looks amazing. And that's why I picked it as my favorite overall scene.
I mean, there are several in that movie, like the car scene. I will not give anything away in that scene because I think it's a great, shocking kind of setup and payout. But the one you're talking about, that it is a beautiful one shot. The choreography is phenomenal. And I just talked somebody online. Of course, it's always somebody online, right? They're like, hey, Evil Dead Burn was terrible. And I'm like, nah, I really enjoy it. How could you like it? You must not like the Evil Dead franchise, which I love that answer. I'm like, oh really? Okay. I guess I don't. I don't. But no.
You know that Bruce Campbell's his dad? Come on.
Just sometimes people just, the internet is fun. That's all I got to say. But no, that's a great scene. Good choice. Good choice. Mine is actually from Widow's Bay, season 1, episode 8, Your Baggage. It's the one where Patricia is being stalked by this mass killer known as the Boogeyman. And they play, Kyle's laughing. He knows what I'm talking about. I don't think Troy's seen it yet, right?
Not yet.
Well, they play like every slasher trope for laughs. And, but it's not like Scary Movie, right? It's not like a parody. It's not at the expense of the moment. It's like the opposite of what a parody does. Like, it's a wink and a nod to horror fans just saying, yeah, we're going to do that. And, oh, shit, she can't get away that way either. Oh, shit, she can't get away that way either. And it just, like, keeps going. And it's, I think, so well done. And it just edged above the other Patricia episode where there's the flip of the vents. I really don't want to give that away because it's got a wonderful twist. But, I mean, there's a lot of cool twists in that show. But, man, that this one, because I'm a big slasher movie fan, and I just recognized every single trope they were trying to play with.
Yeah, I completely forgot about the scene. That was a wonderful scene. Like, that had me so laughing good. The whole time. Yeah.
Just kept going and just kept going. And she did everything that you're not supposed to do, and then realized that she did what she's not supposed to do and did the opposite. And then she's just like, God damn, this guy's still coming. It was great. But when it's over, I love how it ends.
And it was like slow moving, like Michael Myers type of thing. It's like you see it. It's just like it's not like a huge, like quick, fast threat. No. It's just slow moving.
Just sauntering along. Sauntering along. Yeah, it was pretty wild. OK, next category is best summer vibe. This is the moment, the movie, the series, whatever that made you feel like this is summer to me.
Spider-Man.
Okay.
The whole movie, point blank, done. No discussion. That was like what summer blockbuster popcorn movie is supposed to be.
Hallelujah. Great movie. I got nothing to add to that because I want to talk more about it later. So I'll hold tight, but I echo you.
So for me, it was Masters of the Universe.
Oh, that's
it.
Good.
Just had like a fun, campy vibe that was a great mix of like nostalgia, a fantasy movie, and it just brought me back to like my childhood watching the cartoon. It had so many like fun references back to the series. Like there was like this one moment where all the characters were just standing there laughing at seemingly nothing, and it just completely reminded me of when you're watching the show at the end of an episode, people are just ha 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 ha. And like they're just laughing for no reason whatsoever, and it just brought me right back to watching that show.
Till we meet again.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore that movie. I am so disappointed it did so poorly in theaters, but it's doing great on Prime. I mean, it's a huge hit for Prime, so maybe we will get a sequel. Probably not with Jared Leto with recent events, but maybe. Mine was okay, and this is going to be a little tricky. This is not Spider-Man, but I'll explain why. I didn't love Odyssey as much as many of you, right? I liked it. It wasn't a masterpiece to me, but I liked it. That said, hearing a movie like that caught, like, it's shot live action, I mean, shot practical, hardly, you know, there's more practical effects than CGI, shot all with IMAX cameras. Everything that says, la-di-da, I'm a filmmaker, that Christopher Nolan loves to do. But he also makes great movies continuously. Seeing packed theaters, seeing that kind of movie, having wall-to-wall people absolutely shutting up just to pay attention to a three-hour movie. And, you know, it's a three-hour movie with no spandex, and they are just in it. That is summer to me. I love going to a movie theater that's packed, and I especially love it when it's something that is a little different. It's not a sequel. It's nothing that's really been done before in many respects. And, I mean, it's Homer's Odyssey. That is not like big with the kids. You know what I mean? That's not a well known to the youth of today. And the movie just continued to crush it and bring in droves. You knew Spider-Man was going to bring in people. I did not think Odyssey was going to be as huge as it was.
Maybe people thought it was The Simpsons or something.
Still hard to find a 70 millimeter seat.
Is it really still?
Yeah, still.
Oh, my.
I had to suffer at the digital IMAX.
Yeah, you loved it, though, right?
It was so, so good. I was just like, I don't care if it's artsy fartsy. I don't care if it's like, I'm a hoity-toity director. Look at me. It was the most brilliantly shot thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
It was gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
I guess we know what Troy's number one's going to be then.
I did see a video today of someone that posted it. They put it on a Nintendo Game Boy, and they said, this is how Nolan really wanted you to see it.
That's funny. You know what's funny about that is in 6 months, Troy's going to rewatch that on his damn phone and tell me, as long as your eyes are closed, it's just like seeing it in an IMAX theater.
Hey, I got spatial surround sound with my AirPods. It works fine.
Oh, he's always making that. What is the argument? Like, it's all about aspect ratio. No, what's
the distance between you and the screen? You take that and divide it by two. That's as big as the screen needs to be, because that's all your eyes can visually see in the field of vision.
I just see what I'm dealing with, Kyle. I don't understand.
That's crazy.
This is how you don't spend too much money on a TV for your living room, because you buy one that's too big and you don't need it that big.
I will say, for all the people that are debating buying a new TV, because I know we're coming up in football season and all that, I spent a lot of money on my living room TV and not a lot of money on my basement TV, because I actually felt like I got it for free. Basically the same picture. I am still kicking my own ass for spending so much time researching and da-da-da-da, and I'm like, it is just as good, and it was much, much cheaper. I will never make that mistake again.
And I thought I was going to be like mad when I bought my TV. It was a 55 incher. And I'm like, I don't know about like the Chinese brands, right? So I actually have a TCL 6 series 4K, and it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it, I like, got one. Why would I spend the Samsung LG price? Yep. Never.
Because you wanted 3D.
Oh, okay. There's always that one guy. There's always that one guy. The one guy who bought a 3D TV. All right.
And a backup just in case that one broke.
What? Exactly.
You got to have spares.
My main one has a little bit of burn-in on the bottom, but I haven't swapped them. But it's less it's only noticeable occasionally, but it's definitely there.
I tell you what, burn-in is a real thing that I worry about. If I come home and the TV's still on, I can, and nobody's in the room, I can get very angry. Not in a I'm going to throw things kind of way, but in a nobody gets to watch this TV anymore kind of way. You know?
As long as the picture's moving, you're fine.
I don't believe
it's when it's left on and it's on the menu. That's when you have some words.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like a burn-in of a bar. Yeah, it's usually the
bar.
Like,
yeah, something specific. All right, most impactful news of the summer. And before we go to it, I got to say, because this happened, I mean, we're recording and when
it happened this week.
Literally happened this week. Dolly Parton passed away. We got to mention her. Even if you can pick totally something separate.
That was mine, so we can, yeah.
Well, go ahead. Speak to her.
Well, just the fact that Dolly was such a formidable artist and everything that she brought forth in country music and the Grand Ole Opry and her presence in Nashville and how she like helped new artists kind of come into the fold. I mean, just a powerhouse in her 80 years in the music business and even bigger than the music business, right? Coming into acting and things of that nature. So it's just a wholesome person doing great things for the world and giving us great country music. And it's going to be sad to see her gone. My friend actually got to sing with her when they were at, when they worked at Dolly World, when she was there visiting.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Did he rave about her too?
Yeah, absolutely. She's just sweetest person in the world.
By all accounts, this might be the last celebrity that people all rave about, I think. I mean, she is universally loved. I don't think I've ever heard a bad story about her. Famously, she's the reason we got Buffy the Vampire Slayer for genre fans. She was an uncredited producer on Buffy and Angel later. So, I mean, and just, yes, her acting, yes, her singing, but really as a philanthropist. I mean, she gave so much of her money back to the community. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a single person that had a bad word to say about her. That's just a real, real, that's a brutal one. Well, goodbye, Dolly. Yeah. I am going to miss her. I really am. I mean, I've been worried about her. It was almost like when Betty White went. I'm like, not Betty White. I know she's 112.
Well, Dolly looks so, even though she was old, she always looks so young.
Great, beautiful smile.
For how old she was.
Man, look. My next door neighbor across the street is 80 years old, okay? Dude does not look old. Okay, we got to reclassify what old is, okay?
Especially the older we get. Yes, we do.
Exactly.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
So I'm closer to that number than I was the other number. So it's like, no.
Yeah, I'm slow. Old. I'm coming along to your line of thinking. Bam. Every year, a little closer. Do you want to do anything else, Troy? I don't want to, if you want to.
No. Okay. No. Yeah. Dolly was, I mean, the Paramount Warner Brothers, I think, is probably the biggest one of the summer, but yeah, Dolly took over the minute Dolly happened. It was like done.
Amen. And before we move on from those we've lost, because this has been a really bad week for lost souls, if you will, in the entertainment business. Yes, we lost Dolly Parton, and she's the one that matters most. She's the angel. She's taking all the wings up there. You know what I mean? But we also lost Tim Curry, one of the best character actors to ever do it, which you got to give a shout out. Legend, Clue, the Rocky frickin' Horror Picture Show. Dear Lord, the gravitas it took to pull that one off. And so many other, you know, films and TV shows along the way, including a wonderful episode of Psych, if you ever see it, where he basically plays a goofy version of Simon Cowell. I highly recommend it. I think it's a season 2, first episode. And also we lost Peter Cullen, the voice of the animated and live action version of Optimus Prime in the Transformers franchise. So you had the touch, man. You were always more than meets the eye. Thanks to all three of them were famous and integral to, I think, our childhoods in different ways. So they're all going to be missed. And holy crap, Grim Reaper, take a day off or get the right people. You know what I mean? Because you're taking all the wrong ones. Let's move on. Kyle, what do you got? Top Dolly Parton. I dare you.
I can't top Dolly Parton, but it was another death at 78. It was Sam Neill, Dr. Yeah. Alan Grant of Jurassic Park. Like, I'll definitely miss his work. Like, everyone mainly will remember him for Jurassic Park, but he was also really good in The Tudors back in the day when that was airing on Showtime, I think.
He's been great everywhere.
He was also on the Merlin TV miniseries, playing Merlin, and a whole ton of other stuff. He's got so many credits.
Don't forget the only reason you should watch Event Horizon.
That one I actually saw in the theater. I remember absolutely hating it in the theater because it was like, tons of blood in that one?
Yeah. It's a good movie after the fact. For whatever reason, I didn't like it in the theater either. I didn't. I came to like it
more over the years. Yeah.
It's kind of like Pitch Black. I've revisited since the theater. But.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess you didn't miss him that much, huh? I figured you'd be going on a nice little rewatch tour.
But the rumor is his last movie is actually going to be the Legend of Zelda movie.
I think, that's definitely one of his last movies. I don't remember who he's playing, but yeah, he's going to be in it.
He's playing Link. Age down.
Suddenly I'm interested.
There's time travel in the universe. Anything could happen. So.
Suddenly I'm interested. All right. Well, mine is that movie theaters are up 20% this year over last year. I mean, take Dolly Parton out of it, but that is the best news. Somebody like me who literally goes to movie theater every single week. That's my favorite place to see a movie. And to see that rebound when everybody keeps telling me every year since COVID, movie theater's dead. Every freaking year, I got to hear this nonstop. And I just love that people are showing up. It makes my heart smile. And it's the best year we've had since COVID. And it's coming close to 2019, which was pre-COVID. So if it can even get close, that's great news going forward because you're getting people that are going back to the theater again. They're spending more time in the theater. They're enjoying what they're seeing. They're going back and back and back. Now, some people will say, well, there's a lot of tent poles. Yeah, there were, but there's also stuff like Obsession and Backrooms and Iron Lung earlier this year. Like, there's a lot of indie stuff too. You know, it's just got to get it out there and find better ways to market. They got to stop marketing on CBS because people that watch CBS probably aren't going to the theater anymore unless Tom Selleck is in it.
It's probably true. But the thing that is really good though, that we'll ride that momentum now because also just a bit of news that happened recently with Sean Astin taking over as SAG after as the lead. Mm-hmm. They did agree to the deal. So we avoided another shutdown. And so they will keep working until the end of the decade. So that's good news there. So we won't have any kind of work stoppage.
Okay.
So we can ride this high.
They can work until AI replaces them. Is that what you're saying?
Sure.
I'm kidding. I kid the actors. All right. Waste of your precious summertime. You can take that however you want, but this is a TV show or movie that completely wasted your precious time.
I didn't go the entire TV show, but it was definitely the worst part of the TV show. And that was Sydney Sweeney in Euphoria season 3. Just Cassie as a whole could have been removed from the entire season.
Shit. All right.
To me, like, people were like, it's not the same Euphoria. It's not the same as it was the first. I actually really liked the entire drug deal mule situation that that Rue was involved with. It felt very like Breaking Bad to me, and I'm here for this. Like, let's go, right? And then Coleman Domingo's character gets involved. It's like, this is where it's at. Like, I'm down for these kind of stories. Whatever was going on with Cassie, could have buried her underground with her boyfriend for all I cared.
Damn.
So Godzilla didn't win you over.
No.
That is such a weird scene, man. I mean, I'm with Troy. It's
everything
terrible.
She did was weird. It was all weird.
Sam Levinson, the creator, I swear, to this day, the reason why he kept Sydney Sweeney's character is just because he just wanted to objectify her. I feel like I've heard him defend all of his choices with I've heard him say that she was behind him, and maybe she was. I don't know. I mean, you know, Sydney Sweeney's her own person. She can get behind him, his decisions, whatever she wants. But I think they were just terrible and objectifying. That's like everything to do with her character was just cheap and sleazy, I guess. And not in a good story way.
You could understand the direction of her character in the first season because they're in high school and, you know, the fighting with the girl to get the guy and all that other fun stuff. And, you know, that makes total sense. Whatever was going on in this third season, like, no.
Okay. Damn. Sorry, Sydney. I'm sure her career is going to be just fine, though. She's going to be just
she's got
fine.
Good genes. Yeah.
Jesus. Oh, my God. I mean, she does. In both ways, I guess. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, mine was The Wizard of the Kremlin, which I saw as one of these... I saw it as one of these Mystery Monday Screen Unseen movies at AMC. Okay. It basically has Paul Dano as this guy who's like helping Putin come up with his schemes and helps him become like the guy he ultimately became. Like, originally he wasn't as powerful, but this guy is the guy that helped prop him up and
he's the architect. Get him,
yeah.
Okay.
And so I just found the movie to be so incredibly slow and boring, and then it just like abruptly ends by the end, and the whole movie just seemed completely pointless. Like, it was just an awful, like, waiting for it. When is this going to finally end?
I hate when that happens. I hate when that happens. And is this Paul Dano, the actor famously known as Quentin Tarantino's most boring actor?
I've never heard that, but it would not surprise me if that is the case.
Yes. Tarantino famously got ripped by the acting community because he went on a tangent about how Paul Dano was milquetoast. And I'm like, you know, it could be mean, but also correct. You know, it is possible to say that.
It definitely could be. If maybe he watched Wizard of the Kremlin before you said that.
That's funny. Mine, I went on a rant about this many, many episodes ago, but Cape Fear, I hope Max Cady haunts everyone involved in the terrible, ridiculous, insanely stupid show that I watched every single freaking episode of. And I'm ashamed of myself because the first four episodes are really, really good. And then it becomes Days of Our Lives, Dumbass Edition. And I just, like, so many bad decisions. They all should have died. I'm still mad that anybody lived. It's terrible. Terrible show. They're talking about, we might have a second season. Good. Enjoy. I'm never watching a single minute of that show if they come back.
Is it different from the movies?
The movies are good, so it's different that way. Okay. Yeah. what it does is if you've seen the movies, either one, you know, there's the Robert De Niro one and there's the Robert Mitchum one. And it's, you know, Max Cady is the villain who gets out of prison after being allegedly wrongly convicted. So he gets free. And then he wants to exact his revenge on the lawyers who essentially he blames for putting him behind bars, right? Like, that's the story, but they drag it out for 10 episodes and everything gets so melodramatic and cheesy. And there's twists for the sake of twists that make no damn sense. There's actually, when you get to the very end, there's a really cool ending to Max Cady's storyline, and they do the, they, I had no empathy for anybody. I wanted them all to die. That's all I'm saying. I really don't want to ruin it for anybody that's still watching it and want to get to the ending, but it's freaking stupid. The best twist they had was Juliette Lewis pops up, and then they do nothing with the character except make her seem like the worst written character on the show. So just that whole show just pisses me off still. Woosa. Okay, so property you want to see become a franchise or a continued series, which means it can't already have a part two and it can't be a second season. It has to be first season, and I would recommend picking something that isn't renewed or getting a sequel already, but go ahead.
I don't know if this one would count then based on what you just said, but I picked it anyway because I want to see more about the Backrooms. I want to see more about the company that we get to meet at the end of the Backrooms movie. And just different portals and spots where you could cut into the Backrooms and just have different adventures. I think that would be really an interesting take.
I mean, I think it still counts because they haven't announced officially a sequel. It's going to happen.
I mean, but, even though it technically was a sequel of its own thing.
Oh, yeah, to YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Creepypasta.
Yeah.
That's cool that it made that impression on you. I was really surprised so many people enjoyed it that had no idea about it.
And I knew nothing going in. I think that's probably why I enjoyed it the most, because I knew absolutely zero about it. And then I went on the rabbit hole afterwards.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you still are.
He's probably recorded like a 24 episode podcast that he just hasn't released yet.
Yes. He's got his own YouTube series now. Backrooms with Troy. I think he's in
that's
a backroom right
that's
now.
A different show.
Yeah.
It's called the Shroom Kakaba.
All right, Kyle, what do you got?
I went with Master of the Universe. I really hope we get another movie. I hope it doesn't fall down the Dungeons and Dragons endless hole pit there and we never get to see more of it. Because it was just a lot of fun, and I just hope we get to return to that universe, so to speak.
I think you get a Dungeons and Dragons movie before you get a Masters of the Universe part two, sadly.
It's doing well on streaming. If they decide just to make it for Prime Video and not worry about the theater, then it could happen.
Prime does like throwing a lot of money at mediocre stuff. So,
wow, you better not be talking about Reacher.
Somebody wasn't a fan.
I was talking about Rings of Power.
Oh well, okay, yeah. Fair enough. What'd they spend on that one? Like $1 billion for that Lord of the Rings show?
A lot of money.
Insane. Mine was also Master of the Universe because I had a great time with it too. I want to see more of that world. I'm not sure if Jared Leto can still be Skeletor though, and he was the best part of that movie, but he's got a bunch of allegations to get through. I'm not going through that, but you got to have Jared Leto's Skeletor to make this work because he was the biggest surprise of the whole movie and he was fantastic. And you don't even see his face, so I guess he could still be there.
I had no idea it was even him until the credits rolled and go. Then I saw the name.
All right, best badass. That can be a hero or a villain. Who's your best badass of the summer? Movie or TV? Either one.
Oh, it's hands down Odysseus, for sure.
Really? Matt Damon.
He took out an entire room of people by himself.
Oh, I can do you one better, but I'll wait till I get there.
Yeah, I was torn between a TV person and a movie person, but I think I got to go with the Furious and Wang Wei. The dad out to save his daughter, and he just mows down millions of people as he's not going to have anything stopping him from getting his daughter back.
Ditto. Boy, we are aligned two categories in a row. Miao Shi, who played Wang in The Furious. I mean, somebody told me he was Jet Li's son. He's not. Jet Li doesn't have a son. But he played his son in a movie a long time ago. But man, does he remind me of Jet Li so much. He is so fast, so fluid, so accurate with his choreography. And of course, people on the internet loved it. Well, I think the choreography was Jet. You know, I've seen a couple of those, and it's always like somebody who is in a picture with a Budweiser and, you know, obviously hasn't left the lawn chair in a while. But I'm telling you, this dude is badass, and give him a franchise. Joe Taslim is very good, too, in the movie. I don't want to sell him short, but man. Miao Shi is fantastic.
I think we need to see him as a Reacher villain and have Reacher go up against him.
Ooh, okay.
He finally meets his match.
Okay. I could deal with that. I could deal with that. He was great. All right. Best Summer Find. This is a new to you TV series or movie you found this summer, but it released earlier, but you just watched it for the first time. for whatever reason.
I mentioned this one, I think, last week. I caught this movie About Time with Rachel McAdams, Margot Robbie. That one, is, I've thought about it a lot since I've seen it in the last couple of weeks. So just the relationship between the son and the father. Like, yeah, it was huge, impactful.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
The kid's going to college. I'm scared. I'm scared. I'm all kind of feels.
No, I'm so bad.
Kyle, what do you got?
For me, it's something I also mentioned before on this podcast. It's Shrinking, which I discovered on my plane ride to San Diego Comic-Con, which I, some reason I just never watched it, but it has that mix of humor and heart that we get in a lot of these Bill Lawrence shows. Mm-hmm. And I watched the whole first season. I look forward to finding some time to catch up on the remaining seasons of it.
Do you put it above or below Ted Lasso, another Bill Lawrence show?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's okay.
What do you think?
I need to see more of it. I enjoyed both thoroughly, so I just, that's a good question.
Where do you put Rooster?
That I wasn't a fan of when it first started, but that grew on me, yeah, and I really enjoyed it by the end. That was one of the ones I questioned putting on my TV list later on, but yeah, I did really enjoy Rooster. I probably enjoyed Shrinking more than Rooster.
I really love the daughter in Rooster. She grew on me a lot. Like, she was just a little bit crazy in the right amount. So mine was Milk and Cereal. It's a YouTube movie. It's Obsession director Curry Barker's first movie. I think it's his first movie. But it's a tiny found footage movie. It's very short. It's like an hour. But it works really well. And also, it proves he's not a fluke, number one. I know he's had a YouTube channel for years, but that's a lot of short form content. And this is much longer, and it's much more intricate. And it's he balances the tone, same tones he has in Obsession, where it's comedy and horror and that sort of thing. And it's about a potential serial killer slash stalker at a birthday party, and things go sideways. I don't want to say anything more about the story, but it's really, it's a, Cooper Tomlinson, who's also in Obsession, is also in it because they're buddies. They really have a... It's a really good movie, and it's on YouTube. You can watch it. You don't even have to pay for it. Find it, watch it. It's worth it. And also, if you're a Patreon supporter, the full Kurt Russell experience is on Patreon right now. You can listen to the whole panel. It's on patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Sign up to subscribe, or I think you can just pay for that one episode if you want.
Did you catch the part where you serenaded him from the audience?
The restraining order was in full effect at that time, and I still haven't gotten out of it. Now we go into TV and film. This is where we get specific, because these are pretty simple. Like, we're just doing best supporting performance, best lead performance, and then the top five TV shows and top five movies. So we're going to start with TV. Who is your best supporting performance of the summer, Troy?
I was going to give it to Nick Offerman.
Is this an honorable mention? Is this what we're doing? Huh?
But he didn't. But he didn't have three episodes in the summer, so I couldn't give it to him for Margo's Got Money.
So he didn't earn it. So he's not. So why are we talking about him?
He can't be mentioned at all because he didn't qualify. So I gave it to Tim Robbins in Silo for season 3.
Really?
The things that he has to act and do based on how the events of season 2 end. I don't want to give it away because it's creepy and cool, and where you wanted to freaking kill Tim Robbins in season 2. Now you're like, he's my best friend in season 3. Because he's just so giving out the information and just spilling it. Yeah, he's really done a great job, I think, with what he's been dealt in the third season.
So you mean he's, as a character, because I haven't watched Silo past like the first episode. And I do plan on going back to it when it's all done. But is that a real earned switch of the character? Like, you hated him in the second season, but you've come around to him now because of other information or how he's portrayed it? Is that what you
mean? You understand the bigger picture of what the Silo is and what's happening, yes.
Oh, like, does it almost forgive what happened in season 2 for whatever?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's impressive.
Yeah, he's the villain who's not really a villain, but because of what he has to do, he becomes the villain.
Making
the hard choices.
He's dad of the Silo.
Apparently. Yes.
Okay. All right, Kyle.
So I went with Sydell Noel as Tamara Green on Reacher season 4.
Oh, you love her, huh?
I just loved her dynamic with Reacher. She just like jokes around him, and like just their whole dynamic. I just really enjoyed that dynamic throughout the season.
I love how she just calls him on his BS all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good call. Mine is going to be, and I checked three episodes in May. Just made it. And this guy never gets any freaking respect. No Emmy love or anything else. And he absolutely deserves it because it's the best performance in the whole show. And that's Anthony Starr's Homelander and the Boys. The final episode in particular blew me away because, I mean, he is the guy that has been running the show. He's power hungry. He just is obsessed with appeasement. And then he finally gets to a moment where he actually is even, where it's even, or more even, I should say. And he's weak, and no longer is he holding the upper hand, and he turns into a squirming, whiny little bitch, like on a dime. And the acting is so perfect. Like, it's absolute perfection. Some people don't love how the other show ended. I thought the ending was fantastic. I thought it actually just nailed the ending, and it was time for the show to go. I was kind of getting burned out on the how many penises can we show on a season, and this was a great ending. Anthony Starr was amazing as Homelander.
You should go back. He did a New Zealand show mm-hmm. where he played identical twins.
Nope, not doing it. Twins, man. No. I'll watch Banshee again, though. I love Banshee. Banshee's a great series. All that is him just whooping ass for like 40 minutes an episode. All right, now we go to best lead performance. Who is the best lead performance on TV this summer?
I still have to say for what she had to deal with and what she had to work with and the story and how it changed and shifted and basically kind of recreated the character as she was also trying to deal with her own inner demons. Zendaya still gets my vote for Euphoria Season 3.
Really? You love that much?
I really loved the drug story. It gave me big, it was Breaking Bad vibes all over again, and I loved it. I just wanted more of that entire, it was like Breaking Bad meets Ozark. It was so good.
Okay, fair enough.
That's why every time it cut away to Cassie, I was just like, come on. Why?
I know why. Tatas. Every time. That was his answer. The guy's Sam Levinson's answer every freaking time. We get it. She's shaped.
There's a great sequence where she gets kind of like found out, and they bury her underground, and her head is sticking out. And then this guy just comes running out on a horse, swinging a polo stick. And it's just like, and she's like, oh my God. The camera is right where her face is. So great. And that's where it cuts to black just before.
Hmm. Before what, Troy? Before
I can't
what?
Say. You have to watch the next episode after that.
Fair enough. All right, Kyle, best lead performance. Who you got?
Okay, so despite this person only playing one character this time, she did a really good job on Maximum Pleasure Guaranteed, and that was Tatiana Maslany. I just really enjoyed this character and this whole performance.
You love it too, huh?
She has a lot of humor to it. There's a lot of drama. And she has to, first I thought Troy might have been talking about her. She has to deal with inner demons. And so I just really enjoyed her performance in this. And it, well, I'll get to that later. But yeah, I just really enjoyed her in this show.
And the twist at the end to set up season 2. So good.
I hope you get it. I don't think it's been renewed yet. Or maybe
I thought it was.
Maybe it was. I don't know. Maybe it has. I haven't been following that one in particular. Mine was something else up until this weekend, I swear to God. And I'm not trying to do an honorable mention, Troy, but since you did, I guess I will. She just beat out Reese. Sorry, I always get his name wrong. Matthew Reese. Because she impressed the hell out of me as a vulnerable action star, and that's Hanny Waddingham. I freaking love her in Ride or Die. Now, I even think she's better than Octavia Spencer in the show, but I mean, I know she's an assassin, so it sounds like a pretty textbook role, but it's a very female-centered show where you have two women that are best friends, and there's betrayal between the two of them. And instead of like in a guy's betrayal show would be like, goddamn dick. And then they punch each other in the parts, and then, you know, they're fine 5 minutes later. This is like real consequences. Women take it a lot more seriously than guys do. That's all I'm saying. And the show conveys that and shows like, you really betrayed me. And she has to live with those repercussions for the choices she's made. And everything is on her face. Like, she is there. There's flirting with other characters. There's, you know, where she's being a very tough assassin style, you know, James Bond type, if you will. And she's kicking ass and she's great in those parts, but there's a lot of vulnerability and she just nails it, man. She really, really just impressed me about how versatile an actress she is and how more options and choices she needs to get, because she's better than just Rebecca, is all I'm saying. And she can freaking sing, if you didn't know.
I think she had an HBO special where she sang. She did. Like a Christmas special.
Like a Christmas special. She's great in everything she does. Okay, now it's your top five TV shows. What are your top five TV shows of the summer? There were 4,612 television shows over the summer alone. What are your top five, Troy? You can do all five at once.
He made that number up.
I figured, yes.
but these are in no particular order. But Euphoria.
Okay.
The Burrows.
Okay. All right.
Maximum Pleasure Guaranteed.
Okay.
Silo.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, The Lanterns. I'm really digging it after two episodes so far. And the third episode will air before September 1st.
Look at you trying to get in.
Technicality.
Do you really love that show, though?
I knew I was going to, the Kyle Chandler was there, and I'm like, okay, this is gritty DC. Like, I like gritty DC. That's where it belongs.
Okay.
It's good.
They got a lot of F-bombs in that show for some reason.
And it's also, it also could qualify for one of the cliche categories, I think, because they're taking a twist on that superhero thing and not actually making it superhero, making it more detective.
Yeah, that's true. It is a little different. Okay, Kyle, your top five.
So mine is also in no particular order.
Oh, what are you bitching? You can't freaking like just... Well, fine. Do it your way. It's your list. Fine.
So I had You're Killing Me, which is a cozy mystery series on Acorn TV.
You're Killing Me?
Yep. You're it has Brooke Shields.
I've
Brooke
never Shields. Heard of this.
She's like a... Brooke Shields is like a best-selling author who's having trouble coming up with her next book. And then there's like a... I think she's like a podcaster, a young podcaster who comes in to do a story and they decide to work together. And it's like a murder she wrote. Each week there's some murder in the town that they have to try to solve while they're also working on this novel that they're working on. Wow, so it's pretty much like
right up my alley.
Like so it's only murders in the building, in New England town.
Or Murder She Wrote. I mean, they're both right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really worth checking out, because I'll hunt it down if it's
It's a lot of fun, yeah. It's on Acorn TV. I think it was only 6 episodes in the first season, and it's coming back.
Done. Okay, got it.
Maximum Pleasure Guaranteed.
Well, you guys love that show. I gotta catch up on it.
Reacher.
Yeah.
And then I also had House of the Dragon, which made up for its lackluster season 2.
Yep.
With some epic battles this season. Yep. And then surprise one at the end, L, which I didn't know I needed a prequel to Legally Blonde, but I actually really enjoyed it. Plus, we get one more final appearance of James Vanderbeek in that season.
Aww.
So, and that's my list.
I will tell you, my wife really liked Legally Blonde, but usually unless she's watching it with me, she doesn't really binge stuff very often. You know, she'll watch one episode here and then 5 weeks later, she's like, what's that show again I was watching? L, she watched in a weekend. I mean, just barreled. Every time I walk through a room, L's on. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And she's like, it's L. Shh. I got a lot of that. So I don't know if it's as good as she made it sound, but it sounds like it was pretty good.
I didn't know I wanted it, but she definitely does a good job of embodying that character, the actress that they have playing the younger
like she feels like Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, she does. She just captures that same spirit.
That's it. Well, and I think she's a producer. Reese Witherspoon's still a producer too, so that's gotta be hard working for the lady that perfected the role, if you will.
Yeah,
good for her. All right, well, my top five, number five is Furious. Not The Furious, it's Furious. It's the show with Emmy Rossum as a detective hunting down a female serial killer. I came into this one a little late, but I barreled through it because it's such a riveting concept. I really, really enjoyed that one. And it's on Hulu, if you didn't know. The Burrows on Netflix should have gotten a second season, but I'm fine that they didn't, because I feel like the ending leaves you like in a good place, in a good place. But I really love seeing Gina Davis. You know, it's about a retirement home. I get some Stranger Things kind of quirkiness going on, but Gina Davis, just love seeing her like just kind of reminding the world that she's here, because I feel like she's just disappeared for like 10 years.
Yeah. She's not old, Kyle. She's 70
and she looks fantastic.
She looks fantastic.
And like, I don't care if she had work done. 70. I don't care. Ride or Die, you know, and this is in order, by the way. I put my shit in order like an adult. Then I got number two is Reacher. The number two is Reacher. Number one is Widow's Bay. Widow's Bay is so far, I think, running as my favorite series of the year so far.
See, and had I seen Widow's Bay or House of the Dragon, they probably would have made the list. But I've not seen them yet.
House of the Dragon was fighting furiously for that fifth spot, but didn't make it. Very close, though. But I agree with Kyle.
I'll suffer through season two.
Kyle is 100% right. Okay, movies. Movies. Best supporting performance movies.
I had a hard time with this one, but I just kept coming back to that speech she gives to good old Tom Holland about her dad and about what she has to do for the kingdom. And Anne Hathaway really put a really great performance together in The Odyssey.
That's a pretty great pick, honestly. I would argue that might be her. I think it might be her best performance, even away from Les Mis, honestly.
Not the end of Oak Street?
No, not the end of Oak Street.
Not The Princess Diaries?
Nope, not that one either. Good choice. What about you, Kyle? Best supporting performance?
So I went with Angelina Looking Glass in The Rivals of Amziah King. I mean, she could almost be considered a lead performance for the second half of the film, but for her first acting role, pretty much, I thought she was just amazing in this. And she transforms, like, as the character transforms, she also transforms, and you see this confidence in the character, and she really displays that. I just thought she was amazing in this movie, especially not having had any prior experience, really.
I'm so glad you picked her. Because I saw it last year, I didn't know if I could put it here, because I think I probably already talked about it. But, man, The Rivals of Amziah King is a great movie. And good on you for going to see it. I think you're the only one that saw it, besides me and Matthew McConaughey. So my pick for best supporting performance is Jared Leto as Skeletor. I walked in expecting to hate every ounce of that. I don't like Jared Leto. I don't like him as a person. Don't like him as an actor. Don't like his hair. I think his hair's stupid. Why are you always trying to be Jesus? I don't understand it. And then we find out exactly why he's trying to be Jesus, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. But what I will say is in Masters of the Universe, he was fantastic. And he made that movie fun. I got nothing bad to say about Jared Leto in that movie. As a person, we could have a conversation. Till we meet again. All right. Best lead performance. Who is the best actor of the summer, or who had the best role? TV, movie, this is movies. We're just doing movies. I forgot where we were. Best lead performance in movies.
That should be, without a question, Indy Navarrete, by far.
For Obsession.
For Obsession.
Why do you say it, though?
Because obsessed. Like, just obsessed watching her do everything she did in that. It was fantastic. So good.
No. I haven't gotten tired of hearing that this summer. Jesus. Not at all.
Oh, anytime they're in the bedroom together, and when she's hiding behind the plant, and you're just like, oh my God, what does her face look like? And you're just like freaked out about it.
The lighting in that movie, for such a low budget movie, is so
good.
And we just, my wife just watched it. She had never seen it. And we just watched it. And all I told her was pay attention to mirrors. That's all I said. And you know, as she's watching it, she absolutely was already paying attention to those little nods and stuff. And she's like, I think when she, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but certain moments you can tell who's who. And as you start to figure that out, it becomes a more horrible movie than it was originally. So just sad, just very a great horror movie.
It becomes a great movie. It becomes a sad, horrible, sad, not horrible, bad.
Once you really think it through and you see like the nods to how things are really happening for that particular character, oof. There you go. Kyle?
He guy's a dick.
So mine might seem to come out of nowhere, but I actually picked Paul Rudd in Power Ballad.
Wow.
So I don't know if you're familiar with this for movie the lead? At all.
I didn't see it, but that's what I wanted to see.
He's basically this washed-up musician living in Ireland who goes around with this band, and then he ends up, he's like jamming with Nick Jonas's character one night, and he sings some song, and then that suddenly becomes a hit for Nick Jonas, who's like this pop star. And so now he's trying to he's trying to get credit for him helping to actually write that song. And he's trying to prove, like, no one believes him that he had anything to do with writing that song. So he's trying to prove that. But this was like a really, like, it has some humor to it, but it's more of a dramatic role for him. And he also sings, like, genuinely sings, like, non-jokey songs, but real songs. So, and that's a lot of pressure when you're co-starring with Nick Jonas, like, a real singer. So, and with, like, this is another John Carney film he's done, like, once and some other, and Sing Street, I think, was another one. And so these movies mix a lot of, like, music with drama, and there's really emotional films. And I thought he did a really great job nailing this role in this film.
I haven't seen that one yet. I need to see that. I've heard nothing but good things. I think the Nick Jonas of it all, like, I'll come do it later. But it's a great idea for a movie. So. And if Paul Rudd's doing something more dramatic instead of just being Paul Rudd, I mean, I knew he was probably, you know, a little more angry, if you will, in that movie. Is that fair to say?
I mean, there are some scenes where he's angry, but he's not angry. He's just disappointed, I would say.
That's funny. Fair enough. Mine is the same as Troy's. It's Indy Navarrete for Obsession. I love that her career's exploded. I love that she's been a meme. She's, you know, basically been a video over about a million different Instagram stories and reels and everything else, TikToks, whatever. I think there's so much to that movie that goes underappreciated in a lot of ways. There's a lot of subtlety that gets missed, and most of it comes from her performance. I mean, there's even she says some raunchy, horrible stuff, especially if you, like, turn the subtitles on when you watch that movie. Holy shit. She's randy. But I mean, the way she sells it and the moments where, like Trey's talking about, where she's in the shadows and you only see, like, parts of her face. I mean, I've seen videos where people have brightened her face, and the way she contorts her face is really a wonderful addition to her performance. And you couldn't even see it, but you still, you know, if you really dig into it, you can find it. And she, wonderful work. I mean, for an actress that hasn't had a lot, I think she was on Superman show, whatever, that was on Superman and Lois or something, one of those shows. I don't care. But she was on one of those, and she's done a little bit of here, a little bit there. It was a knockout performance. And if we get to Oscar time and she doesn't get a nomination, they can all go to hell. That's all I'm saying. I'm putting that gauntlet down.
You're using your wish stick to make sure that happens.
Yep. Yep. And in fact, because I had originally seen this, just a fun little Obsession fact, I had seen this at South By, and I remember, I know I raved about it, and I told everybody to go see it. And it still impresses me, even during summer. I'm still shocked that it took off the way it did. It became this mega hit. I did not see that. But I still remember when Troy saw it, and he was raving about it, and he was arguing with me about the end, and he was absolutely right, because I just forgot how it ended. Like, I forgot one moment about how it ended. I'm like, that ain't how it ended. That's not at all what I was going on. Da, 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 da. And then he's like, no, this happened. I'm like, shit, how tired was I? I forgot. I remember that completely different. And it was a better ending than what I even remembered. So, hey, the movie got better, even in the summer, after I resaw it. All right. Top five movies. Troy, what are your top five movies?
In no particular order. Some kind of order, because it's based on release, I guess.
Okay.
Obsession.
Okay.
No surprise there. Backrooms, no surprise there. Spider-Man, no surprise there. Odyssey, no surprise there. And then Hadestown, the musical.
A little bit of a surprise.
It's so good. Like, if you're going to film live theater, the way that they did this pro shot, I've seen Sarah Bareilles' Waitress. I've seen the Newsies pro shot. I've seen, obviously, Hamilton and Six, obviously, just dropped last weekend. Hadestown's pro shot is so great at capturing the emotion and the close-ups of the facial. Like, if you don't like musicals in general, or going to the theater in general, I still recommend watching Hadestown. It dropped this week on digital, so you can buy it, rent it, whatever you need to do on your favorite platform of choice. I don't make money on the Apple movie side of the house, only on the TV side. So you could buy it on Prime. That's totally fine. But yeah, I would just watch it once. Trust me. It is such a great story. you probably already know the story if you know anything about Greek mythology, so it's not going to be like a surprise how it ends, but it's just so well done on the emotional front. And the jazz, the trombone player in that is so good. So good.
Sold. I am sold.
You good list. Your wife would like it. You should watch it with your wife.
Okay, slow down. All right, we don't need that much quality time. All right. Kyle, what do you got?
So mine, in no particular order, are The Rivals of Amziah King.
Oh, yeah.
The Sheep Detectives.
Yes!
Just a fun movie.
It is.
The Furious, which has a slightly different tone.
Mm-hmm.
Coyote versus Acme, which... it's like a modern-day Roger Rabbit, but I just found the writing to be so clever. There's all kinds of references to the classic, like, Looney Tunes cartoons that you can't possibly notice them all in one sitting. Like, it's definitely a movie you're going to have to watch multiple times.
Legitimate question before you move on, because I know it's releasing when this episode releases. So for people that are debating seeing this, there's a lot to go with that movie, which is, you know, basically Warner Brothers shelved it. They were going to write it off as a tax credit that got saved thanks to the fans. Ketchup Entertainment bought it for like $50 million, and now they're finally releasing it. Does it live up to that kind of hype where fans basically saved this movie and got it out there? Like, did it surprise you that much?
Yeah, it did surprise me just how well written it is. Like, I was expecting, like, just like a... I don't know. It just seems so well-rounded, the characters. It's not like just like a... like just a joke after joke. Like,
it's not hokey and...
Yeah, they actually feel like real characters. And, like, one thing I really liked is the way they do the camera work. So they use, like a handheld camera at times going around the character. So it feels like that character is actually there. It's not like...
So they're basically, like, panning around their head and stuff? Like, the cartoon?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they're so, like, moving around. You feel like you're in the scene with this character. It's not like, hey, we got this wide shot. We're not moving the camera at all while this anime character... talks to this other guy,
okay.
To the live action guy. So it feels like they're just other characters in the movie. And I just thought it was really well done. Like, I was surprised how well done it was.
Okay.
And so my last choice was Master of the Universe, which I've already talked about and said why I like that so much.
Over and over and over and over. Which is good. That's a great movie.
It's a good list. It's off the beaten path. I like that.
It is. It's pretty solid. I like your list. It's very nice. Very nice. All right. So mine, we're going to, I feel like I'm going to go 1 to 5 just to make it easy. No, I'll start. My number 5 is The Sheep Detectives. I can't rave about that movie enough. I mean, it's a murder mystery. It's adorable. And it's from talky little CGI sheep. They're so cute. It's a really cute movie. And I say that because I know it's weird. It's a cute movie about sheep solving a murder. But on the same token, it was a really cute movie about sheep solving a murder. It just worked. So be it. Number 4 is Masters of the Universe. Like, that was a big surprise. I mean, I think Kyle and I have probably sold at least a couple people to check it out on Prime, I hope. And I love how it ends. It's got two, like, very distinct nods to the cartoon. One about what is to come, and one is just a goofy-ass nod to the show. Number 3, because I do these in order, like an adult, The Furious. It's still, you know, I remember seeing the trailer going, God, it can't possibly be as good as this trailer makes it seem. It was, absolutely. Nonstop, whooping ass, just swirling fisticuffs. Everything's got to be on wires, but it never looks like it's on wires. It's just so well done. Number 2 is Obsession. Even though I rewatched it in the summer, I still love it. And, you know, I had seen it a couple months earlier, but it counts. I'm not counting The Rivals of Amziah King, or it would be number 1, because that was my favorite movie last year. I freaking love that movie. Kyle's absolutely right. Find that movie if you can. It's Matthew McConaughey as a beekeeper who finds a daughter, and they reconnect, and then there's a lot more to it, and I won't tell you anything, because it's a really original, creative, brilliant film. And I'm just going to, even though it's not on my list, I'm going to piggyback off his list and tell you, like, find that freaking movie. It's so clever and original. So original. You agree? It's very original.
Oh, yeah. It keeps changing what it is, and you just don't know what to expect.
God. Deserved also, a much bigger release.
It's also because he can do the honorable mention because he's doing the editing, so we can't pull it out anyway if we wanted to. So.
Yeah. Good luck, bitch. All right. And then I've got number one is Spider-Man Brand New Day. I haven't talked much about Spider-Man this whole episode, but I will tell you it is my favorite movie of the summer. It made me feel like a kid. I walked out of there smiling. I saw it a second time and felt everything exactly the same. I have a good buddy who told me he doesn't get it and he doesn't understand why it wasn't that good. It was just okay. And I'm like, shut up. I don't care what you have to say about it. It made me happy. Let me be happy. Shut the fuck up and let me be happy. I love that movie. It was finally the Spider-Man I wanted out of Tom Holland because he hadn't gotten there yet. And even though I liked the last hour of No Way Home, the first 2.5 movies of that first trilogy didn't do a whole lot for me. Some fun spidery stuff here and there, but they weren't great movies. This is a great movie through and through. I love the mental health aspect of it. I love the Peter Parker aspect of it. I still wish there was Uncle Ben, but I got Aunt May and I'll make do. There we go.
You pulled out your George Costanza there for a
second. Sorry. Listen, Jerry. This is what we got. Sorry, I don't know why I had a New York accent when I yell, but think how confusing that was for my children when they were little. Why is he suddenly from New York? So overall, good summer, guys. I mean, you wish
we predicted. If you go back and listen to our summer preview, we said this was going to be the best summer in a while,
and it lived up to it. Any big surprises for you? And not in terms of what you saw, but just going to the theater or talking to people about shows, anything that took you by surprise? I mean, in terms of, like, for me, The Odyssey was a big surprise that it caught on so well. I knew it was going to be a big movie. I didn't realize it was going to be that big.
Yeah, like, even though it was Nolan and it's considered probably the tentpole of the summer, it's still, like, not an IP, not a sequel, not a comic book. You know, it was its own kind of thing, right? Kind of like Dunkirk was. And so it has to, like, stand on its own with its own marketing. And it did amazingly well with that. And just talking up the whole, you know, 11 miles of film for that movie. But yeah, just all the creepypasta stuff and all the smaller movies that did so well this summer. I think there's just a lot of new energy, which is coming into Hollywood, which I think is great.
Anything for you, Kyle? Yeah. Anything that surprised you?
Yeah, I was going to say more like just how things like Backrooms and Obsession did, how long they stayed in the theater. Like, it's just normally these things are in there for 2 weeks max and then go, and those things were in the theater, seems like, forever. Like, just amazing how well those did, those smaller films.
And, I mean, Spider-Man, I mean, $2.2 billion and counting at this point. I mean, it's probably like $2.5 by the time you hear this. It's insane that the movie has gone off the charts. And then I think Odyssey is $1.4 billion is where it's at. Not $1.4 billion for a movie, you know, about the Trojan War. It wasn't a real war, wasn't a real thing. I mean, just insane to me how well it did. One thing I got to say, though, very surprised. Very surprised. Kind of shocked a little bit. Troy, Toy Story 5, you didn't mention it once.
Yeah, but better stuff.
Fair enough. I really thought that would be a little bit more.
We didn't have an animated character. If we had an animated category, then it would have gotten its spot.
Well, there's like two animated movies that came out this summer. Unless you count Mandalorian, because it's Grogu.
I mean, the Oscars made an animated category just because it wouldn't give it the best picture. So
That's fair.
Maybe next summer we'll have an animated character.
I'll tell you what didn't make the list. Mortal Kombat 2. God, that sucked.
Oh, the trailer was terrible.
I liked the trailer. It was fun. And Supergirl was a disappointment, too. I mean, I liked the movie, but, man, they were really banking on that thing, and it did not deliver. Anybody see Scary Movie?
No, I totally forgot that it came out.
What did you think, Kyle? Was Scary Movie?
I thought they relied too much on their old jokes, like bringing them back over and over again. That's the one.
The Wayans.
Getting mixed with Scream. Yep. Okay. Yeah. I think they rely a little too much on just bringing back, like, hey, this joke worked like 20 years ago. Let's do the same jokes over again. But I thought it was okay. The audience I was in absolutely loved it. They were roaring out loud and laughing the whole time. So,
well, I will tell you, Moana bombed hard. I mean, I think it was probably the biggest flop of the year based on how much they spent and how much it made. Because I think like $300 million worldwide, but they spent like $200 to $300 million on it. And that didn't stop Disney. They still went out and just launched a bunch more live action remakes. They don't listen.
The problem with that, every time that commercial came up, or the trailer came up, I was like, didn't I just watch this? I forgot there was like the second animated movie, but because it was just so close together that it just felt like it was the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so it just, and then I watched it and it was pretty much just a remake, a complete scene for scene remake of the animated version of it. So there was really nothing it added. And The Rock just looked odd because he wasn't fat enough for the character.
And his hair was terrible.
See, the hair didn't bother me.
Does it not bother you?
He was just too thin to be that character. Like, because in the animated thing, the guy is massive. And like,
he's in a suit. You knew that, right?
But he still wasn't fat enough.
No, but the thing is like, just think about that. The Rock had to get into a muscle suit. I mean, how insane of a world is that? I don't understand. I don't understand. Oof. Before we go, I do want to mention, okay, so one cool little news story that happened right before, I think right before Mutiny came out, which, you know, was Jason Statham, and I did see it. It's just not worth reviewing. You can read the review on the website. I don't think it's really worth going in. It's Jason Statham. You like him? You're going to like the movie. You don't like him? You're not going to like the movie. There's your review. But what I thought was interesting is that, I don't know if you guys heard this, Amazon Prime accidentally released the movie free on their Prime service on accident for, I don't remember how long it was, but
it was like an hour. It was up for an hour.
Yeah. But many people like started watching it. And now, you know, Lionsgate, who produced that movie, is thinking about suing Amazon. Do you think that is something that can be forgiven? I guess.
See, I saw this. To me, the people that are going to download and watch stuff, they were never going to go pay to see it in the theater to begin with.
That's probably true.
Like they try to make it sound like, oh, we lost so much money because now all these people aren't going to see it. You weren't going to get these people to go pay to see a Jason Statham movie. The people that want to see a Jason Statham movie in the theater are going to still go see a Jason Statham movie in the theater.
Guilty.
If not, they were not going to watch. They were not going to pay for it anyway. The people that went through the trouble to go find this. I guess the main problem is it's not like a cammed version. It's like a full quality version because people download it directly from Prime Video. And
you know, and it's going to make its way to the Plex server very quickly. It's just kind of crazy. I mean, kind of crazy where we're at.
But in those cases, it's hard to prove how much money you actually lost due to it because you don't really know how many people are really going to actually go and see it in the theater.
Yeah, I don't.
I still went to see it in the theater.
I did too, but I don't know. It wasn't like it was busy. You know, it's not like there was a lot of Stathomaniacs there that were.
There was some little kid in front of me who was like getting up and walking around. It was so annoying. Like this kid had to be maybe 9 at the most, and the mother was just sitting there letting him roam. Ooh. It was just, and it was not like there's cursing and there's lots of violence, like some deadly kills and stuff. But,
is that your worst theater experience this year?
Because
you always
know. Yeah, there's people that talk, and I'm trying to remember if this year I've dealt with anyone like that was really bad at talking. There's a few times where I had to get up and get someone try to come in because I try to stop someone from talking. Then they yell at me to mind my own business and just watch the movie and then they act like it's my fault that I'm being the unreasonable
one. I love those people.
And like then I go get someone to come in, and by then they finally put away their phone or they stop talking. And so I just wasted my time and missed part of the movie because for no reason whatsoever. I miss the days when they would have people wander through the theater and check out theaters.
Yep. We miss that. We all miss that. I was telling you before the show, we went and saw End of Oak Street for a second time. And this couple, only the other people in the theater, and they talked the whole movie. Even after saying something to... then it really happens to me. So next time, I'm just going to... I decided if there's only going to be two people, I will take my flashlight because I was in front of them and just like basically have it shine directly in their eyes. I'll do that. I'll be that guy. How about that? Now, does that make me the a-hole if they started? They started it. Like we're in third grade. They started it.
Personally, I don't think so, but I applaud anything
that tortures other people. I got you.
Yes.
Yeah.
that those are the, like I keep seeing Facebook posts, like people are posting photos like, hey, look, the mystery movie was Buddy, and they have a photo of the title screen.
That's
and
terrible.
You see the rest of the theater. It's like, no, it's not okay that you took your phone out to take a photo of the screen. He's like, oh, but I'm really like discreet.
Really
I'm,
discreet.
I'm looking out for the people next to me. It's like, no, if you really cared about the people next to you, you wouldn't have pulled out your phone at all.
And you even tell but, me, you won't tell me because you see it at East Coast and I'm Central Time, and you could actually tell me what those mystery ones are. And you're like, ah, just check on the Reddit thread because I ain't doing it.
Yep, it goes against the core of my being to pull out the phone as soon as that the people coke people dancing in the car. As soon as that happens, my phone goes away and it does not come out.
Yep.
Until the
if I see Nicole Kidman, it doesn't come out until I see credits. That's the way it goes. Troy's being awfully quiet. I think Troy was that guy. He was the talky one in my theater because I couldn't see the guy's face. Was it you? Were you the one talking?
It was not me. Even for Hades Town, I did not sing along.
Isn't that okay in those kind of movies? Or no? I don't know what the rules are.
I mean, don't
if
want
it say it's a sing along, you can sing along. But if it doesn't say it's a sing along, you're not supposed to.
Okay.
And I was nervous when I was going to some of those because there's definitely theater kids like sitting in front of me. I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna have to deal with people singing throughout the movie, but they were actually quiet.
Doesn't that give you joy if they did, though? I mean, I don't...
No, because I don't know the songs, and I'd rather hear the actual performers sing and not the audience sing.
Not Ramon, who just got kicked out of drama class.
I want to see the first production of it, and then once I see the first production of it, I'll go to the sing-along with a bunch of my friends, and then we'll just scream the entire time and
fair enough.
Shout at the top of our lungs.
Fair enough. Well, guys, I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you guys for being here, as always. Greatly appreciate it. We're going to take a few weeks off, so we'll be back probably mid-September, I think, something like that. But we are taking a few weeks off because there's a lot of stuff going on. So thanks so much for listening. Really, really appreciate it. Go to Patreon. We'll try to throw some stuff there as well. And once again, go to noreruns.net for Kyle Nolan's additional stuff and all of his like 400 things that he has to review every week. And come back here in mid-September and we'll see you then. Thanks for listening. Remember, the next time you head to a theater or stream comfortably on your couch, buy popcorn. It's still summer.
I did just watch a whole bunch of Perfect Strangers because they sent me that Blu-ray for review.
That's when you send shit back, dude. Seriously. Like, just
I actually requested it.
It's Perfect Strangers.
Just send it back.
I requested that. I was like, of all the shows that would get a Blu-ray release, why would you ever choose Perfect Strangers?
Because I need a crystal clear Balky. Give me a break.
You get in the mail, you're like, don't be ridiculous. I'm not reviewing this.
Bye.